Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host, Taylor B. and the Bagels.
Howdy!
All right, and we have a very special guest with us here tonight, Razor's Edge, Raz. Welcome to the show.
What's up, Freaky Winkles?
That's right. That's right. We're very excited to have her on the show this week. Just to get some housekeeping out of the way, we are an advanced theory podcast. That's only to say that we're going to talk about things without necessarily going into depth about all the things that we reference. We sort of expect you to have a modicum of the subject matter. However, that doesn't mean we're, like, exclusive about anything. If you're like, if you add us and you're like, hey, what was this thing? We'll help you out. We'll give you some direction. That's right. That's right. But we're not going to do that during the recording itself. So just keep that in mind, everyone. That being said, let's get into this week's subject matter. And for this week, we have for you a topic that is near and dear to me, but it's our nightmares, light manifestation of light bearer hallucinations. This is to say, is the darkness using guardian light, or perhaps the light of other animals, other creatures or NPCs, because we know everything has some light in it, especially things that were touched by the Traveler at one point. It's suggesting that it's the darkness or the darkness ship sort of manipulating your own paracausal nature against you, causing you to see or maybe in this case manifest things that aren't there. In this case, nightmares. Nightmare boys, as I will call them, or girls. They're intergender nightmare champions. And so that's the crux of it. This all goes back to in-game when Shadowkeeper was released, and Eris remarks that the ghosts aren't real. They aren't the people that they are projecting to you, that you see them as. Mm-hmm. And that sort of leads to the idea that, all right, well, if they're not actual ghosts, then what are they? How are they there? How are they being manipulated? How are they being projected? Now, we've discussed on the show in the past about the nightmare's nature and how they could affect different people that they interact with. But it just sort of goes that if they're in your head and that's where they're getting the ideas from, maybe they're just tricking you into sort of seeing or projecting this ghost. Which, you know, with Savathun showing up this season, I think it's not the most ridiculous idea anymore that we have these different ways that we can be manipulated by our enemies or potential enemies, as the case may be.
Sabathun's everywhere anyway, so still
it's true.
I'm still convinced she's Eva.
Eva Levante? I mean, I do.
I'm pretty sure we've firmly established this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I know a couple dudes. It's us.
And Green,
who went pretty in depth.
And everybody, shit, I'm like, no. Eva is Savathun, end of story. That's it, done, close, end game, we're done.
Everyone acts like that's a bad thing, and I'm just over here. You're mad that our potentially worst enemy is also our grandma? Like, I feel like she might turn full grandma mode and protect her babies.
Now you're pushing.
Now I'm pushing. All I'm saying is we all ate those cookies.
Not those burnt ones. Hell no.
No, of course not. We give those to Rahul.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that actually felt bad about giving this poor bastard burnt cookies? Like, who eats burnt cookies?
No, not really.
The two things we've given Rahul is a monument of bones to all the dead things we killed in the loot cave.
See, I wasn't around for that part. I feel like I need to preface this for everybody listening. I'm going to preface this. I am the D2 baby. Literally, I came in at Forsaken. I just have a really good mask at this shit. So, congratulations.
It's no, true.
I missed the loot cave. I missed all the good stuff. But like,
it's not as glamorous as we make it seem. I will say that about the loot cave.
I mean, it was pretty spectacular there for, like, a week.
Yeah, but
But
like, but it's one of those things you
I know. It certainly was just
like
kind of overblown.
the loot cave was a lot of fun when you haven't been finding anything, but maybe after like an hour of getting stuff, you're like, okay, I'm gonna put this game down. I've kind of this is boring now. I'm gonna go play something else.
Yeah, no. It definitely wasn't the end all be all. It wasn't like it was end game concept. It was literally just filler trying to find all the exotics.
Yeah,
Oh, great.
it was definitely like the OG community cheese. Which I guess if you like cheese, then that's what's up, but
I do appreciate good cheese, like a good Gouda or like a really good fresh mozzarella. That's good stuff right
I'm a
there.
Munster man myself.
Munster is good.
Munster is very good.
Yes. Or Pepper
Anyone
Jack.
who says differently is intolerant.
Is they need to get out, and they're getting out. Like keep walking.
I tell my girlfriend this every time she'll every now and again she'll bring up like lactose intolerance. I'll be like, "There's no room for intolerance in this house, Karin."
Jesus,
Terrible.
terrible
You take that intolerance and you march right out. I will not put up with it. I am intolerant of intolerance.
Just take your shoes, walk over there, and stand there in your shirt and your
Yeah.
Epi pen and just eat your cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only people I can't stand are the people that are intolerant of other cultures and the people that are intolerant of cheese.
And the Dutch, to just make it a full Austin Powers reference.
God.
And
And
the Dutch. There might even be. We can decide if we want to make it a bonus track or if we want to integrate it into this episode. There may even be a bonus theory for you guys, but that I might be teasing. It might be like special bonus theory recording that we have. We should have like theory like poetry slams where we just
Oh,
like we all show
Jesus.
up and we talk about our different theories and then like, instead of clapping, we snap our fingers. All right, we don't have to do the finger snapping part, but it'll be very. You have to
There is
prove.
not enough liquor for me to sit there like that. I'm just no, okay.
I gotta tell you, I bet I could make a drink that would help it.
I could too, but I already drank it yesterday. I'm
Ooh.
very sad about this. Like we, me and the Titan lady, we found these wonderful, like, I don't know, they're like party ball bomb things, but it was like sour apple, and that with Monster's Mango Loco. It was like a sweet and sour, like Midori sour, and I went just batshit on these because they're 15% content, and I'm like,
Nice.
yeah, it was a good night. Crucible was fucked, but you know, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Was gonna say, that sounds like a fine line between great and terrible.
I don't know, the snipes were pretty crisp. Not gonna
See?
lie.
So you were in the great zone.
I was in the great zone, like that shit was going wanted around corners, and I was getting hate mail, so I mean, I'll take
Get,
good
get,
ones.
get. I tell you what, I only got hate mail one time, and it wasn't even for Destiny. I got hate mail for PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
How does that even work?
I was playing Sly Fox, and I was wrecking. And then someone messaged me at the end, and they were just like, "Oh yeah, you're so fucking good with your two moves." And I was just like, "You're so fucking good getting beat by two moves. You want to get mad at my strategy? Defeat my strategy." But that was years ago on the Vita, so now you know.
I don't know. Lately, it's like the personal pride. I'll go into Crucible with, of all things, Enigma's Draw, and it's like the hate mail flows like the dark side. It's like, how the fuck did you do? I'm like, it's a sidearm. And they're like, yeah, what the? But I'm like, get good with your summoner. I don't know. Triple tap and rangefinder. Come at me, bro. That's all I'm looking
I've been
for.
getting like I say good again. I've been re-experiencing my love for Felwinter's Lie.
Shotguns don't like me.
Dude, shotguns normally do not like me, but for some reason, me and Felwinters, even back in D1, are like, you guys can't see it, but my fingers are intertwined. Like, yes.
Ooh.
For some reason. That one clicks with me, and I slapped a freehand grip on it, just so I can draw and just fire away. And we've been getting along famously. I think we might move in together, you guys. It's getting pretty serial.
What does Kari think of you,
Oh, she's coming too. It's just the gun. It'll be fine.
Fellwinter?
No, Fellwinter's staying dead. It's just the gun. But guys, we're here for a podcast.
Oh, really?
With the stuff.
Yeah, like I thought we were just here to shoot the shit too. But getting back on track, the crux of the theory just kind of goes to the idea that repeat it real quick. Goes to the idea that since the hallucinations aren't real, they are manifestations of something. And if the darkness can manipulate what we see, as we saw at the end of Shadowkeep, there is an argument to be made, we think, that perhaps these things are force projections or hallucinations made by the light bearers who they are meant to scare. I'm gonna start with with the bagels this week. Bagels, what do you think, my man?
So, there has to be some sort of force interacting here, and whether it's... We have very little information about the darkness, I'll say that much, as to what it actually can project as physical matter and or just how we interact with it. It's very up in the air as far as that goes. So what we have is we have the nightmares, thinking like Gaul or Crota, Fickrell, any of those guys, where we're actually physically interacting with an enemy. It's not just like it's a strict hallucination. There is something physically blocking you there from progressing. And what that is what I'm currently questioning. And so it could be something actually projected from the pyramid ship. It could be, like, I know that the pyramid ship kind of projects a mist kind of spraying out of it, and
I'm just picturing a mist spray now.
I know,
like,
it's right. it's kind of an abstract. I'm trying to picture how that coalesces into like a physical form, and that could be it. It could also be just, like, it's a physical, like, mirror to our light, where we've got, what I've been thinking about today, basically, while I've been contemplating this theory, is that we've got our light, and then we've got the darkness. And the darkness is kind of a mirror image of the light. So if we contemplate it like that, the strength of the Guardian might actually have an impact on the strength of the Nightmare. So what I'm currently leaning towards is that the darkness producing these nightmares is actually a dark reflection of our fear. And the strength of our light determines the strength of the nightmare.
So you're sort of rolling with the idea.
Yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily strictly our light that's projecting the nightmare itself, but I think it's the darkness kind of reflecting off of it itself. Kind of the two sides of the coin argument.
I would only add to that, light is the only thing we've strictly seen manifest something that's not there.
Sure.
We've seen the darkness do the upside down, take like mirrored versions of the regular world. We've seen it consume light, and we've seen it sort of project itself. Even if you look at especially Taken Wizards, when they make their little baby Shadow Thrall. Yeah, which, if anyone else remember when Game of Thrones was good, like the shadow babies, if anyone had images of that when this game first popped up, that was definitely on my mind. But the show's not good anymore, so don't worry, fans, we'll never do a topic about that.
Wait, I'm lost which season that was now.
I think it's like one or two. It's the Red Lady. Yeah. The Red Lady does it to kill Stannis.
Yeah.
He has the shadow Stannis, who like comes out all spider-like, and then he's like, "Oh no, wait, I'm Stannis now," and just kind of like fades away.
Nope, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
I'm good. That whole scene was just no, just no.
Yeah. No amount of nudity could make that scene hot.
Okay,
No amount. Not once. You heard it here, folks. Childbirth, not sexy. But necessary and beautiful in its own way. But just not sexy beautiful, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah. I would if the two subjects were ever brought up together, I would decline. I would just say no. Sorry.
Well, I've got to go wash my hair. I gotta go, like, feed the dogs, like, spaghetti or some shit. I don't know. Spontaneous science experiment. I don't. Yeah, science just run away.
Yeah, so, sorry, scene. I'm just going to not watch you ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, not even once. Not even once. Raz, special guest. What are your thoughts on the overall theory? You know, you don't have to talk about the shadow babies.
No, you've
escaped that event horizon.
Yeah, hold on. No, see, that's a whole, see, event horizon. My brain instantly goes to that movie, so that's a whole other can of worms.
You've escaped that blast radius. Is that another movie that I'm making?
Wait. Please tell me you've seen Event Horizon. It's beautiful.
I know I have. I can't remember it off the top of my head right now.
Just picture Alan Grant in space.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, a tortured, disembodied, possessed ship that goes to hell and back through like some warp space. Anyways,
I feel like that's one of those things, you know, like the British comedy guys, the Mighty Boosh. I feel like that's one of those things they would make fun of, called like inertia. Be like, we can't stop moving. The force is pushing us this way. Cursed inertia. Like just constantly.
You're a beautiful soul.
Hey, from the producers of Condensation. Comes inertia.
Oh, jeez.
Cut, take two. Okay. I was discussing this whole thing earlier with Green because she understands, like, the first podcast I got drug onto was over at Focus Fire Chat, and normally this kind of thing should not be out of my comfort zone. I did DJing, but as soon as like I got on the podcast around like people more versed with lore than me, I'm just like, oh. But we were actually discussing this earlier, just kind of walking through it, and the thing I love doing is gradually dissecting games with comparisons, you know, to actual real life scenarios.
Sure.
So like one of my favorite ones was like with Hellblade. They actually took outside sources of people, you know, experiencing schizophrenia and like MPD, the whole nine yards.
Ooh.
All these mental issues, and found a way to translate it into the actual gameplay. And they would go back and do the test panels, be like, okay, is it something like this? Is it something like that? You know, people that are like fully medicated, functioning, non-functioning, whole nine yards. So when I look at the nightmares in Destiny right now, you look at basic trauma that a body can go through. I mean, you look at military service members coming back with PTSD and, you know, having night terrors. That the mind is so powerful that, you know, you hear people having sudden superhuman strength in, you know, high stress or high risk environments or anything like that. To me, I mean, the mind can get away with itself. I see, like, you know, if we got near the pyramids, it starts taking over the ghost. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for poor ghost. So I don't see where much of the difference is. Like, the darkness could manipulate the light and turn these random fantastical thoughts into a waking nightmare. and just reintroducing all the trauma that somebody goes through. I mean, I love the darkness. Don't get me wrong. As soon as darkness shows up, peace, bitches, I'm out.
I secretly hope when they show up, Bungie makes some sort of contract with the band. And the dude just walks out, and he's in, like, this skinny leotard, and he goes in full, like, 80s hairband rock voice.
If they don't play Blind in Darkness, I will be extremely upset. That's
I think when the darkness tries to make its pitch to us in this scenario, if they don't go with I Believe in a Thing Called Love.
No.
I would lose it.
We need to go full-on Sisters of Mercy in this Corrosion. Like,
ooh.
It's 10 minutes long. I mean, you can get a whole freaking cutscene and, like, mini-adventure in that time period. Just
I like it. I like it a lot.
Roll up on Europa with that shit.
Okay, so Raz is on my future team of developing machinima and or game bullshit.
I mean, I am a stylish hunter.
Yeah, no, you've been selected on my team. Like, we have teams, and I went first. So.
You went first. Yeah.
You know that kid when you played dodgeball who always went first and picked, like, the real athletic kids?
And I was the asshole that was usually waiting at the end, and I'm like, I'm gonna follow you.
See, I was the fat kid, and I had a secret to my advantage. I was a fat kid, I couldn't move around a lot. But I could catch the ball really well and then use it to defend my fatness by bouncing all the balls coming my way as a shield. And it was like an ultimate defense. And so by the end of elementary school, I was still picked last, but I felt way better about it.
I was just a spider monkey. I was a hunter at birth. I was the spider monkey jumping on shit. Like, no, don't touch me.
I'm definitely a hunter. Like, there's no, even, that's why I like, Raz, we have to play more and you'll see how my hunter tends to be, but I tend to go with, like, the thicker, chunkier hunter builds and armors, just because it reflects more of who I am. but I was never the jump around and do everything. I was the like, oh, let me catch this, I'm gonna throw it back at your face, like, haha. Deal with that.
See, I learned that lesson early on with my stepbrother. He decided to check a basketball in my face, and it was just like game on from there. We had really cruel pranks as kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, you have a mild allergy. I'm going to so screw with you for that basketball catch, buddy.
Oh, damn.
Mom,
I didn't realize you could bring allergies into, like, basketball.
I mean, well, okay, mom did catering when I was growing up, so, like, my childhood was chunk. But chunk, my chunk ass, like, running down the hall with, like, 5 pounds of, like, peanut butter melt-aways.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That we're going for quarter or whatever, but... Yeah, I kind of occasionally sabotaged my brother when he was mean to me.
I love it.
I wasn't a nice kid. I was a very sneaky bad kid.
Raz, you're in such good company right now. I think everyone except the bagels was probably that same kid here.
I was going to say, in the words of Monty Python, I got better.
He got better. He was fine. He's fine. I am... That's amazing. I was definitely the fat kid, especially in elementary. Like, it got better. Like, I had lost a lot by the time I finished high school, but it was definitely like, how can I say this? The limitations of being rotund, especially in, like, a small, like, package.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches you a lot about how to get around or out of things. And that's all I have to say about that. If you're a mischievous little kid or a mischievous, smaller, rotund person. Maybe other people have these same lessons that they learned later in life.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of... yeah.
I'm jealous though. As a fat kid, I would have loved to have been around baking goods and treats. Instead, I was
Dude, no. No.
My
No.
mom made way too many treats growing up. It was bad.
Oh,
Oh no, it was bad. Like she did catering, she did orders. She was like band mom, so like every like weekend, because I was the percussionist. I was the marching band kid,
What,
the
you
volleyball
did
and everything
percussion
else.
too?
Hell yeah, first
Yeah.
year for years.
What was your drum?
My drum? I mean, okay. I actually preferred timpani and like the pit stuff versus like, you know, I hated bass. I absolutely hated bass drum. I hated it in marching band.
I
I hated it
liked
in concert band.
I was gonna say I liked concert bass drum because they flip it on its side and
Put it
then you
on the
get
mount
to
and then
then you
just
get to
dog
roll.
it.
Then
Yeah.
you get to roll, you get to be like an actual fucking drummer. Bass drum in marching band is, hey, like, who's fat enough to carry this thing? You need to fucking exercise.
Basically,
Yeah.
you know, marching was quad and snare sophomore and junior
Yeah,
year.
that was
Yeah.
me too. Had the quad and the snare drum, so
Ooh,
sophomore
I
and
was
junior year, you had to march backwards with the cymbals, you know, and get your finger, your knuckles cracked until they were bleeding, you know, and you couldn't do a damn thing about it until you got back to the stands, and
So
then you
our
whooped my ass.
the parade unit of the school I was in, I was in military school at the time. And just anyone listening, if I ever mentioned military school, I was a badass little kid and got sent to military school. I never served, like no military actual service over here. This is all like pre-18 talk, so don't think I went to any like academy or anything like that. But our parade unit, I remember I got trained on the quads, and we actually had one set of a quint. We had the tiny little drum in between the front two quads. I got trained on that. I got trained on snare. Snare was my favorite to actually do.
Yes.
But I always got stuck with a bass drum because I was fat.
I always got timpani in concert because for whatever reason I can't play a proper like drum set, but you put me in front of timpani, like a full like a full quad set and like the choir bells and the organ and everything else. I can nail that shit like it's nobody's business. And like for whatever reason, like as soon as a piece would come up, they're like, "Yeah, no, this is all Raz's. Like you don't even try out for this one. A, she's prepared. She gets first dibs anyways. B, you're gonna get hit with a mallet. Then just plain and
Oh,
simple,
I
you're gonna
love
get hit
that.
with a mallet." But
I love that.
that was my Zen corner. And I mean, I was just like, "Oh, you want the full drum set? Go for it. Go knock yourself out, man. Like I'm gonna go
So,
here."
the only exposure I got to a set during that time was to sneak back with my buddy who was learning how to play bass and guitar, mostly bass. And we would do like air quotes band practice during study hall. And I would sneak back to the band like building, and I would play there. And the only thing I still remember how to play, I actually learned a bunch and like got like okay, like I feel like coordination wise, like I'd be all right. And drum music is fucking easy. Like band nerds, like percussion music's easy as fuck, because it's like, oh, am I rolling? No. All right, I'm tapping. Okay. And now I'm hitting these notes. Like it's a lot. Like at least at its base. Like I don't want any like pro drummers to be like, you're full of shit, Taylor B.
It's relatively simple on at least
comparatively.
the basics.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like comparatively to other things.
Yes.
I learned a lot. The only thing I still remember how to play, I can play by reflex if I have to, is the drum part to the Fraggle Rock theme song.
Oh my God, no.
Yeah, I can let the
No.
music play.
You can let the music play?
Yeah, don't test me.
Don't you test?
I will do so.
You're gonna take my cares away?
Oh
That's right. That's right. Even when we get to the dozers, they'll still be into it. They'll be like, okay, we're gonna work our cares away, but we're here for this beat. All right, now that we just aged ourselves out of probably most of our listening bracket.
That's fine. That's fine.
Kids, Fraggle Rock was great.
Yay.
Honestly, it's worth all the memes and your time and attention, even if you don't give a shit about about what we're saying.
Oh my God. Followed by DuckTales and gummy bears.
Dude,
and
all right.
Now I eat myself.
I still say Gummy Bears had the greatest theme song of all the Disney afternoon shows.
Yes, of course
gummy
it did.
Gummy bear running here and there everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Disney just sang that. So in Disney case really this good. Is ever monetized and they want to be like, you can't say that, giving full credit to Disney right now.
I always feel like I'm missing out on these conversations because we didn't have cable or anything remotely resembling it growing up.
Alright, so it's not that we had cable all the time, especially after my parents got divorced, but yeah, you guys are getting all the TV information today. But anyway, it's not that we always had cable, it's that there would always be this once a year time where you got the full cable channels. And you could watch like HBO, and I remember, I think from like my sub 10s into my like late teens, there were always these like little like VHSs, or like to date myself, we even had some Betamaxes from before, like when I was like too small to have done it myself, like recordings of shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Because I had an older brother who did cool shit like record Transformers on Betamax.
I have so many VHS of Ninja Turtles, Gummy Bears, DuckTales, and Rescue Rangers, and I'm not even going to lie about it.
Ooh.
And Strawberry Shortcake. I love it. Because, I mean, you know, why not?
Okay, so, guys, I think we're going to invite Raz to, like, some special edition Let's Talk About Disney Afternoon Shows podcast. I don't know if it fits with the spinfoil theory concept, but I think we got a show here.
Spinfoil spinoff.
This is it. The spinoff theory podcast. Ooh. Okay. Bam. Now I've just coined it. That's how we'll label the episodes.
God.
Boom. Sometimes it practically writes itself. Getting back on track here.
Back on track. Come on, guys.
Honestly, I feel like any fan of our show is kind of down for these tangents and probably giggling with us when we get to these points. We're like, actually, let's just like shift a couple gears back.
We're going back to like
and back to reality.
Alcohol's already kicking in. Wait, Back to the Future. When are we going back?
What year is that? Oh shit, we got to get back to 1985. It's your kids, Marty. I love it. All right. For me, I think the theory has some legs, just because we know that the darkness can manifest itself, especially when we go onto the ship at the end of the Shadowkeep story missions. We know that the darkness, at least within its own realm, like we can say like with like a modicum of certainty, that it is able to make manifestations that reflect our fears, or maybe it's even like tricking us because we know it can influence our ghost, like Raz brought up. We know it can influence our ghost and sort of trick us into behaving in ways that maybe we didn't want to. So if it can make our ghost talk and communicate with us on their behalf, I don't think it's so ridiculous that it can, how can I say this, put us in a headspace that maybe we're seeing stuff that isn't there, or if we are seeing stuff that's there, it's us who's the cause of it.
God, it's just...
That's right. I don't think it's too far-fetched, too ridiculous, because they're, as far as these Dorito ships are concerned, we haven't seen a single unit that's originally from them.
Correct.
We've only seen things that have been there, just manifestations of our past, manifestations of our failures or our successes, excuse me.
This is the worst first date with the darkness.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the mystery date I thought I chose. But you ever feel like
wrong
direction.
I was gonna say no. I just you ever feel like you get the dud, the one that looks like Milhouse?
Ooh.
It's all coming up Milhouse today.
In this case, that's not a positive. And with that, Taylor has a sake shot.
I've already killed the daiquiri I have.
But yeah, I really think that this has some legs. Like, it's not the most ridiculous idea that we've come up with, the bagels, and maybe back me up or disagree with me here, but we're in like a weird space where I think like we can arguably say that Savathun is not allied necessarily with these Dorito ships.
Definitely, we can say that much.
Yeah, we can say that, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And why would she not ally herself with them if it weren't for a sense of competition? Because she allies herself with literally everyone else in her storyline, but these darkness dudes. No, she does, though.
I don't think it's necessarily out of a sense of competition. I think it's more so that she wants out of the pact with her worm. She's just trying to essentially distance herself from the darkness and find whatever means she can in order to essentially survive without the worm. That's what it seems like to me.
I think that's what she ultimately wants, but I also think that in the past, she has allied herself with Crota. She's tricked Crota, but she's allied herself with Oryk. She's allied herself with Zivu Arath. Like, she's allied herself with people who and worked with them, and these people should arguably be her rival given her relationship to her worm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And I think it's just because they don't rival what she's after as the sort of like patron dark saint of secrets. But then you have none of those guys were manipulators. But then you have the darkness roll into town, and all of a sudden she's like, and the darkness isn't necessarily even related to the worms. Like, the worms could be worshipping the darkness or have a tithe to the darkness base if their system goes all the way up, you know, in that pyramid scheme.
See, Savathun is like on a chessboard. I mean, you don't turn your eyes off the queen, chess. But darkness just king just rolls in and just knocks her on her ass. Plain simple.
Well, I guess what I'm going after here, though, is that all hive-based things so far, she's been on the same side as.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this is a thing that, like, Crota's daughter, Hashladun, and other hive factions are allying themselves with, that she seems to be demonstrably like, I'm going to decline.
And to be frank, we've never seen the Hive interact with the darkness before Shadowkeep. So, what do we have for evidence that says that the Hive were themselves aligned directly with whatever the darkness actually is? We know that they sought insight and basically a path that seemingly is very similar to what the darkness is. But they don't. They still are their own thing. They are. They're sentient. They seek their own path. that would be my argument. That they're not trying to. They're not subservient to the darkness. They are trying to.
I mean, the Hive definitely are subservient to the worm gods who appear to be subservient to the darkness or like some extension thereof.
Do we know that they're subservient to the darkness, the worm gods? That's pretty up in the air at this point. The darkness seems like it's its own entire different thing.
Like, right, but the Hive, yeah. if any person, if any group that we face are the most certain minions of the darkness.
And that's where some of the terminology from Bungie kind of gets convoluted. it seems like the darkness as a whole versus the darkness as a race or a concept needs to be separated, because the darkness as a like a concept is essentially equivalent to evil. That's the way it seems to be originally portrayed, like back in D1, they are minions of the darkness.
Well, D1. And after this note, I'm actually going to hand it back off to Raz because I feel like she's been itching to say something.
Sorry, yeah.
But my only yeah. yes and to that is to go back to like the topic that we're here for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If the darkness don't have any physical minion, don't have any physical form for us to interact with, I think that kind of goes back to the point to where, like, well, then how do they manipulate you? How do they make you think that you have an enemy? How do they make you wear yourself out and then eventually, like, bend you to their own will? I think that it goes back to that sort of point that there's legs to the idea that they're making you hallucinate these things. And it's if like, they do it to paracausal beings, whether it be us, whether it be Ahamkara, whether it be like what have you, I think that sort of like lends itself, or just because it doesn't have to be paracausal beings either. It could be light bearers. Everyone has light. And if they're specifically going after people who have been touched by the Traveler, those people have more light than they might have had otherwise. And so it's not to say that, like, it's not like, you know, as we summon the Golden Gun, they're tricking us into summoning this nightmare that we have to fight. It's just sort of saying that, they could be either tricking us into conjuring something that's not there, or even if they're just tricking us into fighting something that's not there, like, I feel like that expended energy is still, like, to their gain.
Yeah. That's a fair point. But yeah, Raz, what did you want to say? Sorry.
Good, man. I'm kind of bouncing off what Taylor said here. I mean, the idea of, like, psychological trauma on this one. I'm going to take it from one of my favorite movie lines. What the eye see, the ears hear, the mind believes. This is from Swordfish. And the whole idea of willing things into existence, you know, parallel causality and everything else. So if the darkness can manipulate light bearers and worm its way into our heads, again, back to the whole poor ghost, poor sweet, wonderful ghost, even though Tenebra's an asshole. What's not to say that it worms into the ghost, it finds, you know, maybe old logs and experiences, past battles. I mean, oh, hey, look, you faced this at Twilight Gap. You had this, you know, monstrous enemy here, and then it starts preying on the past to manifest this into the present. And the mind at some point eventually does snap. I mean, again, you know, severe PTSD issues. I really don't see the stretch at all of it being able to do that, manifest something. I mean, prime example, the freaking emotes that we have. You know, we're twisting and manipulating light for everything stupid, from like self emotes to sitting in chairs being grumpy between after we get sniped out.
I always wondered if that was city technology or our light bear capabilities.
It's light.
It seems it's light.
I mean, no. I'm here for that. I'm here for that. This isn't that thing. But I always wondered, is just because it's in sort of that, like, a neutral tone compared to everything else that we summon. Everything else that we summon is, like, strictly based on the color
of
whatever class you're bearing at the moment, right?
Right.
And so, for me,
it's like becoming human, you know, neutral is blue, and what is it? Orange and red starts going, like, the sensors are going off, whatever, like, mental imbalance. Yeah, like, I don't know.
So sort of like that, but for me it was always a matter of, like, a question of, is this something you picked up, since you pick it up from Tess, who, like, I still say Tess killed Fenchurch and took over his business, a la Carol Baskin.
We should probably just have a topic of that at some point.
Please add it in. We need to do it. We need to do it while Tiger King is still a reference. Otherwise, no one's going to give a shit. Raz, you're invited back for that. We can have a hostful episode.
Bitch killed Fenchurch.
Right?
I'm telling you.
That bitch killed Fenchurch.
One one hangar, the rest of the body's in the other hangar, the ghost is like in a freaking ice cube somewhere on, I don't know, they're gonna find a way to put an ice cube on the fucking
Carol damage. Baskin got the Almighty to hit that part of the tower so that she could get rid of Fenchurch's body.
get rid of the body that way. She's like, shit.
Let's put it behind this one door they could never go to.
It's nothing. Called Sweeperbot.
It's only Banshee has access to that room, and he keeps forgetting that the adventure is dead in there.
Aw, poor. Oh, no. Every time he goes in there, it's like he finds out for the first time.
It's like a bad version of Memento.
Oh, no.
So bad.
It's like reverse Memento, because he thinks everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up and he's like, everything's fine. And then he finds out. It's really like 50 First Dates more than Memento.
Yeah, that's true.
Dory's outside. It's like, wait, what was I doing? I love Banshee so much.
Oh, at least Dory had some long-term memory and like object permanence.
He honestly killed me, like going through Forsaken and going through the Ace of Spades quest, and just like every once in a while he would like kind of look over his shoulder, and I'm like, "Don't you do it, Banshee? Don't you do it? Don't you fucking do it?" And he would just kind of glance back again, and I'm like, "You bastard, you're not gonna remember in 2 minutes." Fuck, no. It's just cruel.
Aw, poor Banshee. I am still of the firm belief that depending on how exos end up working, perhaps Banshee's not so broken. Personally, I think there's an argument to be made without going into too much of a tangent here. Personally, I think there's an argument to be made that Banshee, in his situation as an exo, because he's not a guardian. I think resets could have some sort of a synergy with exo deployment, because it doesn't make sense that they would make only one blacksmith. You know what I mean? Especially if he's like the best fucking one.
Right.
And if we look at other Earth technology, like frames, as the Redjects use them, where they upload their information to one another after each deployment, I think there's an argument to be made that perhaps he's an amalgam of all the other Banshees, because he was the most recent one, as opposed to he had personally been reset 99, or like 44 times.
So what you're saying is one of those times he got a blue screen at death, and that's why he's got the amnesia so damn much.
I think what I'm more going for is that he has so much source data that he can't identify his own origin.
Somebody forgot to dump the cache file.
Basically. he is, like, instead of dumping the cache file, they are the cache file.
So we're going to redesignate him to Windows 95.
I mean, yo, like, I am here for it.
I am here for it.
As a tech person, like, professionally, like, also, like, I'm totally fucking here for that idea. It's like, yeah, so, like, these guys were all uploaded, and then this guy, like, lost his connection to the server, a.k.a. the Deepstone Crypt, where his source data was collected, so now he's left with all his extra cache data, and it's causing him to hemorrhage his functionality.
Able to unsee the Deepstone Crypt now is the fucking AOL dial-up now.
So personally...
Banshee update.
Personally, I've always viewed the Deepstone Crypt as this sort of like source server location for all exos to upload to, because if they're like frames, the other human technology that seems to be at least slightly similar and based on the same, because exos are based on frames. We know that from Ishtar Collective, right? So if that's how frames operate, I think there's a strong argument that a technology built upon theirs operates similarly. So if exos are trying to get back to a central server, the server being some sort of like weird Frankenstein awful science farm of personal experiences. I'm just gonna put it like that because I don't want to turn this into what the Deepstone Crypt is. But you're welcome back for our Deepstone Crypt episode. But yeah, I just think there's a strong argument to be made that whatever they're trying to get back to isn't there anymore. I think that's pretty clear. But also, like, the reason that they're doing it is because their technology built upon other technology that we have more information about.
Yes.
But back to our subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's where I think we've all said where we are on the theory itself. Ms. Braz.
Yeah.
I think I heard you earlier saying in where you stood, if you had to crank it up all the way to 11 to make the theory work, how would it work for you? How would it work in your headcanon?
How would it work for me? My theory?
Okay. I guess what I'm saying is, like, if I heard you correct earlier, it could be slightly different than necessarily what the theory they brought us together states.
And I can go first if that helps, because I've got a pretty spot on.
Yes.
Turn it to 11 here.
Yes.
Turn to 11, the bagels.
My thought process is, what if the physical nightmares are the light actually attempting to prevent us from proceeding forward in our objective in fear of us being further corrupted by the darkness?
Oh.
So it's actually our light taking a memory from our psyche and actually bringing that forward as a physical blockade against us from proceeding. So, for example, when we first encounter Crota, we see him standing there and we're like, what the hell? It's actually our ghost, or the traveler through our ghost, basically bringing that force forward as a physical blockade. That is what I would think it would... If I were to turn it to 11, I think that would be an appropriate way to look at it.
So if I'm hearing you right, it's you're kind of taking it from the standpoint of...
The darkness manipulating our light. It's actually the traveler saying, no, don't go any further because I don't want you to be corrupted, essentially.
Wouldn't that be like another form of manipulation, even if they're causing the traveler to do it?
I mean, in a much more roundabout way, sure.
Indirect. But I don't want to say roundabout because it's still something it's doing to us. If that makes sense, like it's a little less indirect than personal.
It's more so that the traveler is reacting to that as a means to prevent us from interacting with the darkness, in that thought process. But I mean, it's more of a mismatch of words there than anything else. But yeah,
I'll mishmash your words.
I mean, it could be Rasputin Fell Winter, but I mean, you know, it's fine. We don't really again. It's fine.
Raz, what about you? If you had to crank it up to 11D?
I don't know. I'm kind of vibing on Bagel's thing now about like the traveler being like, no, this is a wall, this is a chain, and I'm like, So. Except now it's like a Jeff Dunham skit. Like, I'm arguing with myself and losing. Then I'm arguing with one hallucination with another, and this is how MPD happens. You're just arguing with yourself. I really have to wonder if like the fourth wall has been broken so many times on some of these missions with moments like this. It's like literally, you could break the fourth wall with this, and you'd just be like, I'm arguing with myself inside of a video game. This isn't happening. None of this is happening. There's some dude like pushing a button, and I'm running around like this, and it's like Wreck-It Ralph and everything else. Like, I don't.
That's an interesting take. I can dig it though.
Reality is just weird. Reality is what we make of it, and I'm really starting to wonder if at the end of all of this, they're just gonna be like the splash screen, like thank you for our simulation. Like you get kicked out of like the fucking infinite forest and this whole damn thing for three.
It's just the life of Roy.
from like the start of D1 up to everything else is just like, congratulations, you have literally been stuck in the infinite forest this whole damn time because Osiris lost one of his fucking cubes in a match of like poker or something stupid.
I will say at very least we have going for us that the Vex can't simulate paracausality.
Oh Jesus, thank God.
Or maybe that's what they want us to think.
You don't know.
I mean,
how they manipulate us into figuring out how paracausality works. They bring us into the infinite forest in order to have us run simulations for them.
Well, it's very interesting. So, just to touch on that little thing, even though I realize you guys aren't like literally submitting it, but to touch upon that thing, what's really cool about that thought process is that if the Vex are manipulating us to if we are a simulation, they create a stance, they create a situation where we would be like, I don't know if you remember, there's several films that sort of touch upon this, but there's like the 13th floor, or there's even like the Matrix does this to a degree, but it's just basically saying like you're sort of like a simulation within a simulation. So then every time we go in the infinite forest, we're going in within, like, a subset of simulation.
Yeah.
And it just becomes this, like, how vast is their computing power? And then if you consider that they're time-traveling, like, computing beings who are just trying to make it to the end of time, it kind of, like, fits in, like, an eerie way, because you have to consider, like, okay, if I'm a simulation of someone they have to defeat and I have infinite time to go through the simulation and I can go in through simulations within my simulation, like, they're probably going to get all the data that they need.
I'd imagine so.
Like, especially if they convince you that you're not a simulation.
I mean, you figure how many Guardians run through that eventually they're going to crack something.
Well, they're definitely gathering data. I feel like they're definitely... Well, all right. I mean, like, arguably Osiris controls that portion of the Infinite Forest we went through. Mm-hmm. Holiday events notwithstanding, because I don't know where that actually sits.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument that if they're actually collecting data this whole time, it's a little ingenious that they let Osiris win. But then there's two different theories of Vex technology. There's the Vex network, which has to simulate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Osiris's sort of H.G. Wells time machine, the sundial.
Because
the sundial stayed in a fixed point. It stayed on Mercury. It could only take you to different times in Mercury. If you wanted to go elsewhere, you would have to travel to there.
Yes.
Like, I guess we can say that theory of time travel was legit because it was... It's really weird. Like, it gets over the idea that you have to travel through space by affixing itself to a larger object. But then you have to, like, consider, well, if that thing had to get around time travel by affixing itself to a larger object, a la H.G. Wells' time machine... Then you have to wonder, like, how the fuck are the Vex teleporting when they fight you? Because they're using time travel to do it, for sure.
Yeah.
It just makes my head hurt. But I think it still... Well, it still fits with my... the bagels, you're probably familiar with this. But you know my stance on Vex time travel and time travel in Destiny is you can only go backwards. We only go backwards in that sundial. We never go forwards.
Yeah, that is definitely true in terms of the sundial, for sure.
Yeah, we never go forwards. The Vex can't go to the future until they go there. Like, the hard way. Until they get there the hard way.
Yeah, again, this isn't a time travel episode, so I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole, but... Yeah, I'll agree on, at least in terms of the sundial, we've only seen it go backwards for sure. So, yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Bagels has confirmed time travel. Theory confirmed.
I still don't trust any of Vex.
I mean, I feel like we can't really trust him, but I just going sort of trying to round off this tangent. I will say that the Vex in their own simulations, as we know through Praedath's ghosts, have versions of their future where they are our ally. We're there on the same side as humanity. And granted, they still lose. We're still vacating Earth. But they're not necessarily our enemy.
Yeah, the Vex are clearly not aligned with the darkness. At least not like...
Not at least like not, the Hive are.
The Hive are, yeah. It's more so that they are just trying to survive. That's their primary goal. Survival by any means necessary. And if that means fighting against humanity or trying to ally with humanity, they will do it.
Yeah. Basic instinct at that point.
Yep.
All right, so getting back on track here. If I had to turn the theory up to 11, for me it would be that the Dorito ships just use whatever you got against you. If you come in with light, they use your light against you. You come in with darkness, they use your darkness against you. The only caveat I would add to that, or like asterisk, or like sort of like problem with that blanket statement, I guess I would point out ahead of time, is there are Hive associated with the Dorito ship. There are Hive associated with the darkness ship. Hash Ladoon's brood, the Red Keep brood, they are in direct like concert with that ship in the middle of the moon.
Okay, I don't mean to disagree with you directly. It's just kind of a conflict of words.
Well, but they're in direct concert with it. Like they're at very least, if they're not a part of that hierarchy, working with it very closely.
I'll grant you that.
So I only offer that, and I think this sort of like solidifies that they are a separate hierarchy, or at least like a tangent sort of thing. I don't think this is the same darkness that perhaps the worm gods were worshipping. I think these are maybe like different dudes, but maybe more at the worm god level of that pyramid scheme than the Hive. Well, no, because like the Hive are a fucking pyramid scheme.
I agree. I absolutely agree. It's just good wording.
Thank you. I worded it myself. Of the Hive are a fucking pyramid scheme, and so I just think these guys are. These guys are at least like. They're just like an ascendant, TM, an ascendant level of that chain. They're a different chain. There's something we haven't encountered yet, but I think they're about like where like the Hive gods were, which we've killed one.
Yeah, I'd say they're at least
like laughed at for thinking we did, but like demonstrably we killed one.
I'm pretty sure the lore at this point confirms that we killed Zul and made him into the Whisper. that's pretty much confirmed.
Well, that just means we can find Zul, in my view. So Rez, having, I guess, like having heard like our examples of cutting it up to 11, is there a way like you could, if you had to like force this theory to work, is there a way that you could come up with to do so?
To inflict the most torture on somebody without raising a finger. Without. Copious amount of drugs or alcohol.
I mean, if you need to pause and get those copious amounts of whatever you need,
we can be here all night and do that.
As is legal where you live.
Again, this is like part of me is like fourth wall breaking or social experiment and everything else. And there's like a running joke with our OCs that mine runs around stealing Astrodalia flowers and ether to make like some weird tea concoction, which I still think is completely plausible.
Ooh.
I really, okay, so what was it back in the day, like the military installments and research places would do like the LSD studies and shit on like animals and then basically like test it out on
MK Ultra.
Yeah. Again, it's like, what's that to say? They just drugged a bunch of guardians and let them loose in the wild like a reenacting one big giant D&D LARP game of that they're just basically beating the empty air at this point. Like, I am so... I want to see this fourth wall broken and then just... I don't know. I'm so stumped on how to turn this up. Other than, you know, rocks fall, everyone dies, make a new fucking sheet at this point.
I really dig what you're going for, and I think if I'm hearing you, it's like you want to break a wall, right?
I won't break shit.
But I think if I'm hearing you right, and you know, stop me if I am. I think instead of breaking the fourth wall, you know, like the wall that we see through as we look at the stage, I think you want to break that back wall.
I think you want to go into
what the background is.
The Savathun play area.
Yeah, so yes. Like, so where this energy comes from, and I think you want to break that, and I just want you to know, like, you're in a safe place. Fucking break that shit.
I really do. Like, the fire team makes fun of me because I want to keep War Beast and I want an Ahamkara and all the shit that's supposed to be killing us or manipulating us, I want it, and I'm like, I just want to see what's behind the curtain.
I mean, Kallus taught us that most War Beasts are meant to be good boys.
They are good boys. Nobody understands me. They're very good boys. They're only pissed off because they're getting pumped full of Bane juice and being told to kill everything in sight. I mean, you'd be pissed off too if you had an X-Acto knife shoved into your back.
Right.
And, like, running around like a frickin' wind chime.
Right.
They're very good boys. They're precious. They're precious beans.
Well, actually, I take that back.
One.
I take that back. Some War Beasts are probably good girls.
This is true too. Bigger than I should.
So I take it back. Like, everyone turned against me for a second, and then they were like, oh, wait, yeah, no, they are good girls.
No. They should be respected and loved and cherished and hugged, and I'm going to go, like, full Elmira on this shit. This is how much I love boys.
You're going to love and squeeze them and hug them and kiss them forever and ever?
And hug and touch and cuddle you and love you forever and ever, and I want every fucking War Beast. I want an entire armada of these bastards.
I love it.
I'm the Chris Farley version of that, where I start squeezing too hard and their eyes pop out.
Oh no. You're JoJo the circus boy who just pets his pet way too hard? He's going for a Tommy Boy reference, fans.
Stop petting it.
Right? I feel like your version is also combined when he lights the car on fire in that dude's office.
Was that the Leviathan? Well, it was.
Oh, God. Was this the Almighty? And, oh, God, he lights it on fire.
Well?
Which, ooh, Rez, as a side note, how do you feel about the idea of the Guardian, the Titan that was trapped on the Almighty? He was, like, frozen in time because of a bomb that went off. Now that the Almighty has crashed, his ghost wasn't there.
His ghost wasn't there.
How do you feel about his ghost resurrecting him? Or their ghost resurrecting them? I don't mean to, like project my gender.
I really have to wonder how that encounter would go. Like, poor ghost shows up, there's just, like, a freaking speck of DNA or whatever left on the ground. He's like, oh! And, like, the bitter sarcasm of me just pictures literally like Thorn being pulled out of fucking nowhere and just be like, what took you so long? I've been stuck for all this. Like, just, I like slapstick comedy and a little bit of morbid. I feel like poor Ghost would no longer be among the living at this point. When he we're going to be picking fragments of his shell out of a freaking rock like Callum or some shit.
Oh, man. Well, I think, as we all know, Callum isn't getting picked up.
Shh.
He specifically asked his ghost not to. But I'm also here for the fact that he can be picked up, so he can be picked up.
This is true. This is just... That's a whole other...
That's a whole other level of things. Oh. Well, guys, I think we're at, like, a solid point of bringing this to our final rounds of plausibility. So I'll go first. I give the idea that the nightmares are sort of projections of light bearers or light bearing beings. This isn't to say risen, just light bearing beings, as a way that they are influenced or having tricks played upon them by the darkness or these Dorito ships. I think that has a lot of legs. Honestly, like, until we encountered someone who said they didn't see the nightmares, I don't really see how there's that too big of an argument against this. Like, because we're not suggesting that guardians or paracausal beings have to be who is being tricked into seeing these things, because some of these nightmares have nothing to do with us as guardians. There's a nightmare for Mithrax. There's a nightmare for Mare Embrum, and or not Mare Embrum, but for different battles on the moon. And so I just think it's very plausible still at this point until we learn more, because right now the most that we're having to deal with mostly has to do with sort of like mind fucky stuff with the darkness. Like, quite frankly, like, they're not presenting us with versions of, like, new versions of enemies or new things that we haven't seen before. It's like ghosty, sort of like bestial versions of things that we've already encountered in our past. So I give it like a, I'm gonna give it a 27 positive plausibility on our scale that means nothing.
I'm gonna give it a 10 for mildly plausible, just on the basis that I still think it's the pyramid more so than it's our the pyramid acting through our light. I think it's the pyramid that is, like I said earlier, it's kind of mirroring off of our light. It's the strength of the being that it encounters is proportional to the strength of the nightmare, more so than it's the strength of the being guided through our light as a conduit for the nightmare to manifest. That's kind of more my thought process. So I still think it's plausible in that vein, but it's more so of a with a caveat.
The Bagels, as we established earlier in this episode, the darkness believes in a thing called love.
yes, we did.
if you could just listen to the rhythm in their heart.
Maybe it's conduiting itself through love.
There's a chance you could make it now.
Oh, we need a chair to break out.
Oh, Raz, I'm gonna pass this lore baton to you, and you've been fucking killing it. You've been hanging with us. I know you're a little nervous. You've been fucking killing it this whole time. Just so you know, and I want to get your confidence up.
Well, thank you. I did thespian acting, so I know when to bullshit my way out of shit.
honestly, like, sorry fans if you thought we were scholars. Like, that's 97% of what you listen to on this show. But anyhow, Raz.
Yes.
What is your final score for the legs of this theory? And just remember that the numbers mean nothing. There is no scale. You can give whatever number you want.
So we're going all whose line is it anyway on this shit?
Pretty
exactly.
much.
Nothing matters. Okay. Well then, fuck this shit. I'm going with one of my lucky numbers. Then I guess we'll give it a 15. A nice round 15. Why? Because I said so.
I like it.
And, I mean, who knows? Maybe all those little creepy nightmares are just, you know, all the wonderful, horrible misdeeds of guardians that we accidentally killed. Imagine being a drudge and stuck on the moon, and that's all your brothers and sisters you killed. And they're coming back to remind you every
time. So the one that gets me about being, like, stuck on the moon or other, like, inhospitable places is that if you can die of hunger and your ghost, like, resurrects you, what if you can suffocate and your ghost resurrects you? So you're just running around this inhospitable place, you're out of oxygen, you're just basically running around until you suffocate each time?
The irony is that I actually came up in a Twitter RP before that
my OC was in that somebody got stuck in like a vacuum of space, so every time their ghost kept reviving them, they died within like a couple minutes, and they just keep doing it, and we're just like, dude, this is like a comedy reel gone horribly fucking wrong. Like, pull him out of orbit and then revive his dumb ass.
Well, in that instance, I kind of want to say, like, if you tried to res him, he wouldn't be able to take that first breath of air.
Yeah.
And so he'd just, like, stay dead. Or he'd die, like, pretty instantly. Like, which would be, like, equally, like, tormenting. Like, just res. 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 Like, just total awful, like, you're creeping your way along the whole thing.
I'm picturing one underwater now and being brought up to the surface and just the pressure explodes on reviving.
I will say at least air exists in that scenario.
That's true. But I mean,
maybe they could res you with some oxygen in your lungs.
Hyperbaric chamber and be like, get you back to normal. Like, look, yeah. No, not yet. He's got 5 to go.
Dunions. Got nothing.
This is really
kind of
nice things.
Yeah, no, that sounds like so fucking terrible. Even the Drifter's version of just walking and just like starving to death, and then your ghost wakes you up and you're still hungry. You're just not dead yet.
Bringing cheeseburgers.
Yeah, like you can manifest me, you can't manifest a sandwich.
You're carrying all these stupid, useless-ass blues. You could have, like, got rid of, like, 30 of these, and you could have had, like, a triple-stack cheeseburger, fries, and a freaking Coke in there. No, you just... Here, have this War Mantis cloak with it. It's broke as shit you can't use, really, for fuck all.
No, having heard you said that, there would always be space in my Guardian backpack where we had a sandwich the ghost could resurrect.
The worst part is I want a cheeseburger.
Oh,
freaking cheese!
Honestly, that's not the worst way to exit this podcast is to go get cheeseburgers.
Cheeseburger and mozzarella.
Ooh, I love it! I love it! I love it! I love it! with that, guys, though, I think with our final scores out of the way, I think we're at shoutouts. I can start this week. I want to give a shout out to Actually, no, I'll just say what it is. I want to give a shout out to all the women in the Destiny community who've come forward with their truth, their stories of sexual abuse and assault, and letting people know and outing predators and other harmful elements that our community is kind of like propped up in some instances. Ladies, I support you. I'm here to elevate your truth. If you see me on Twitter and I'm mostly retweeting and not saying things myself, it's for that reason. On this issue, I want to elevate sources of truth and sources of a story rather than putting my spin on it. Just because that's what I think is right. And so that's where I'm sending my my support and shout-outs to this week. I know there were some high-level streamers and other people who have been outed as being predators and being harmful individuals, and I just wanna to round it out, send my support to all the women and victims who have come forward, having interacted with these predators, 'cause you know what. Fuck those people. They deserve to be outed. And you guys are strong and have my 100% support.
You don't see it, but I'm like kind of like bob my head like, you're awesome.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw. No, thank you so much. It's I really appreciate that. I really appreciate hearing that. Bagels, you got any shoutouts this week?
Yeah, I'll just echo your sentiments. It's not cool what's been going on, basically. And now that it's being recognized, I can at least appreciate that that these ladies are standing up for themselves. So,
yeah. Well, and I mean, Bengals, maybe you're like me. Like, I wasn't too into the streamer scene or some of these other scenes where these predators were outed from. And so, like, for me, like, I'm coming at it from a, like, hey, like, I'm new, fresh face, like, fresh face Taylor on Twitter. Like, yeah. Hey, how's it going, everybody? And then I find out, like, somebody I've been following, because I think they're just, like, popular in the Destiny community, and there's someone, like, maybe I should be paying attention to, is this basically, like, asshole.
Yeah.
And
That's basically correct.
Real quick. Yeah.
No, you're good. You're good. I don't claim to follow a lot of streamers. But if you're popular and part of your popularity stems from you being a bad person, especially to anybody, I don't mean to pick on anybody in particular, but
against it.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say that be good guys. It's a bare minimum. Be nice to your fellow humans. It's treat everybody how you'd like to be treated.
you hit super home for me. It was something my girlfriend tweeted that said to me that I tweeted about this whole thing. It was like, what if we stopped asking everyone to imagine their sister or mom or someone related to them that they have value for in these situations, and just started teaching people to treat women as like fellow like humans and persons.
Exactly. Because that's what they are.
Yeah. Like, what if we lived in that world?
Yeah.
So that's
basically my shout out. I just want to say, be good folks and be respectful. It's the bare minimum that we should should strive for as a society. So, Raz, Ruby, your turn.
Well, shit. Well, fuck. Well, I will say, speaking from one of the people that did post mine wasn't in the realm of, you know, the streamer community, but just kind of the general awareness that, you know, big stream or, you know, cultures like that, you know, the gaming culture, the fact that it's everywhere. And there's different situations that happen. There's environmental, you know, there's person, it's all kinds of things.
Right.
And the one thing that kind of threw me back was earlier reading, like, the Twitch blackout thing, and we're like, okay, we get the message, but at the same time, silence doesn't solve a problem, so blacking out over this basically returned the gag order on people that were, you know, went through something.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Some things have to come right into the light, and, you know, we're animals as a species, I get it. This is the one time I'm like, okay, wild animals can be domesticated. Basic human decency should fall in the same manner at that point. Like, treat somebody how you want to be treated. Respect, you know, respect and basic decency doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't hurt to be a good person to another person, you know? And I try to find the best out of everybody. And I mean, granted, it's bit me in the ass. I've learned. Everybody's going to learn that. But, you know, at the end of the day is, and I'm just going to fucking say it, don't be a fucking douche canoe. Like,
yeah. Don't be you a can canoe. Say that on our show. We have
fuck
total.
Yes.
Yeah, you can fucking say that.
Shit. Fuck yeah. But no, but yeah, I just, be fucking good to each other, for God's sake.
Right on.
Or go find a good number to a proctologist and pull your head out of your ass. You know, go take a walk, you know.
You might need some sort of combination of proctologist and chiropractor. I'm going to call a procropractor.
Procropractor?
Yes.
So it might even be an allopress.
Well, we're
pushing further in when, you know, morale doesn't improve, because I am for both of those at this point.
You definitely mirrored myself, and I think I can chime up for the biggest based on his reactions. You mirrored us and the larger show. If we ever die and pass this on to someone else, the show's official stance. So Raz, where can people find you? Where can you be located?
People can find me on Twitter Same thing as everything. Razor's Edge Raz, same thing PSN. And yeah, you pretty much look that up. Chances are you're going to find me somewhere. Teespring, Big Cartel, Twitter, Xbox, which I don't really go on that much, but I probably should remedy that.
Xbox, yeah, I don't have an Xbox. I keep toying with the idea of getting one, but then I'm just like, oh, but new consoles are coming out, and then we'll be like, oh, well, that's too expensive. I'm just gonna keep putting it off. Like,
small down payment on a car.
That's right. Well, awesome. With that, guys, I think that's all we have for you this week, fans and listeners. We'll see you next week. Again, be excellent to each other. As Raz pointed out, be good to one another and continue being awesome, because I have this idea that if you're listening to us and if we're cool, you must be awesome, right?
Exactly.
So keep it up. We love you. Stay safe. And bye-bye.
Bye.